Chapter 4. Killzone. We are all war machines. Death rattle.
3 targets confirmed.
Akil waited while the vox hissed in his ears.
Just 3?
The dry voice asked. Brell. Of course it was Brell. Akil had never heard the man say a word outside of the squadron vox. Not in the hours spent going through decontamination, not in the shelter, not in all of the past weeks of war. Only out here in the world of the dead did they connect. The cold bastard had a point, though. Akil had seen 7 Iron Warriors patrol groups, and all had been 6 strong. He put his eye to the sight again, zoomed out and panned from left to right and back. The fog was thinning, pulling back to show splintered buildings ringing the open flats like broken teeth around a rotten tongue. The enemy had bombarded this place more than once, flattening it with creeping barrages, trying to flush the raiders out. They had failed. He switched his sight to infrared, and the fog, ground and ruins became a dull curtain of ambient heat. The fog was thin enough here that you could see 100 meters without infrasight. But there was no point. Heat vision was the daylight of this war. The engine bloom of the 3 Iron Warriors machines stood out in bright green as they moved across the flats. Spots of yellow showed where components were running hot, or a track was grinding out heat as it scraped past the hull. Cooling fumes trailed from their exhausts, and their engine blocks were blotches of near white. He squinted and tweaked his zoom, trying to see if there were more machines running behind those that he could see. No, there were just 3. A huge, slab-sided machine crawling between 2 of the smaller kind he'd learnt to call predators. The bigger one looked more like a block of raw iron than a fighting vehicle. Clusters of las cannons hung from its flanks, and its tracks looked thicker than his own machine's armour.
3 enemy confirmed. 2 predator. 1 of unknown class. Large, upward-sloped front. 2 quad las clusters on the sides.
Spartan,
cut in Tahira's voice.
Land Raider class hull.
Akil nodded, even though there was almost no one to see.
All of them should be in the centre of the engagement zone in 120 seconds.
Understood,
said Tahira.
All units, fire and converge at Talon's signal.
The vox went silent, and Akil felt sweat tickle his brow. Without thinking, he raised his hand to rub the rubber of his suit above his eyes. For a second, the image of Rashni raising his hand to wipe his bare face ghosted across his mind's eye. He blanked the memory out with a slow breath and looked through the eyepiece above the steering levers. The infrasight was new, like the las cannon fitted into the socket beside the drive controls and the smeared grey and green disruption pattern on the outside hull. To Akil, the sight already had the familiar feel of something used again and again.
Sol's light! Look at that thing!
Said Udo. He crouched next to Akil, hugging the gun sight of the mounted las cannon. The internal vox somehow stretched the whining tone of Udo's voice.
We could hit that Spartan square, and on the inside they'd just think we were knocking to come in.
It can be killed, said Akil,
and knew it was a mistake as soon as he opened his mouth.
Yeah? How long have you been riding machines, old man?
Akil shrugged, looking at the exposed links rattling over the slab machine's hull. A good shot could sever the links and leave the machine like a beached leviathan. Long weeks on the surface, sucking air from pressure bottles, watching the enemy, hiding from them, running from them and killing them, had changed the way that he saw the world.
I am not the man I was, he thought.
He felt his left hand flex as if from remembered pain. After a long moment of silence, Udo snorted. Akil remained silent this time. He had learnt that it was advisable not to respond to most of what Udo said. The gunner was not happy about being assigned to the scout machine, but Akil had a feeling that even left in paradise, Udo would have found something to whine about.
They are entering the bracket, said Akil quietly.
Gun live,
replied Udo. Akil watched the lead predator grind over a rise in the terrain, its main gun flexing to stay level. Behind it, the Spartan ground forwards.
"Target the front vehicle," said Akil.
"I have it."
"Take the tracks this time."
"I know, I know. Would you shut up, old man? Just remember your part."
Akil shifted his grip on the lever that would start the machine's engine. He could hear Udo breathing over the vox. The Iron Warrior's tanks grew larger in his view, the two predators guarding the Spartan to its front and rear. He heard Udo take a single, slow breath.
"Firing!"
whispered Udo from beside Akil. Akil's free hand thumbed the external vox.
"Vengeance!"
he shouted. A whipcrack of thunder filled his ears. He closed his eyes as the bolt of energy flashed through the air from the las cannon, and the sight blanked to white. The las blast struck the predator low, burning through track skirting and melting a drive wheel. For an instant, the predator's tracks kept moving, rattling through the broken cycle in a spray of molten metal. Then the tank slewed, its unbroken track pushing it in a skidding half-circle. Inside the scout, Akil heard the thump and explosive crack of Silencer's shell hitting its target. The predator vanished in an expanding cloud of black-streaked flame. Behind it, the Spartan came on, scattering the flaming wreckage of its kin aside. The second predator swerved to the flank, its turret traversing as it came. Akil opened his eyes. Flamelight was pouring through the scout's vision slits, and the view through the infrasight danced with heat. Udo was whooping, his hands slapping the top of the gun sight. Akil pulled the ignition lever, and Talon's engine started. He slammed it into reverse gear, and the scout pushed back from the low rise. Akil could no longer feel anything, really. Some part of him was moving the scout's controls, but all he was aware of was a high-pitched whine in his ears. This was the moment of survival or death. The Iron Warriors would know where they were now. They would have seen the beam of the las cannon shot like a finger pointing back to them. If the squadron had made an error in planning the ambush, or if they were too slow now, then they would die out here. Talon accelerated backwards.
30 yards, then turn.
The routine dominated Akil's thoughts as he felt the machine judder and buck in his hands. Beside him, Udo was still cursing the enemy and cheering with glee at the kill.
"Talon, the Spartan is coming after you," came Brell's voice, as flat and emotionless as a machine.
"Shoot it!"
snarled Akil.
"Waiting for a shot," said Brell.
The kill was a well-worn routine for Brell. They found a patrol, found an ambush site, then waited. The scout always picked the target, but it was Brell who laid the ambushes out. Tahira had stopped questioning his suggestions and now just accepted them. Layout and angles were crucial. Once the scout hit the first target, Silence had to be in the right place to hit the target straight away and blow it to pieces. Then came the messy part, the scrabbling to outrun the remaining enemy. They would hit targets of opportunity, but once they fired the first shots, the objective was simply to survive. The scout was the most exposed in these moments, but that was just one of those facts that did not bother Brell. Tahira and Lantern stayed back until the ambush was sprung. The executioner's energy and heat signatures were just too bright for it to be part of the first strike, and its weaponry too unreliable against anything larger than a medium-grade tank. Backup, insurance, a slayer of opportunity. Lantern might bear the title of executioner, but Silence was the squadron's true killer. Hit once, hit hard, and run. It was a system that had kept them alive and killed 8 Iron Warriors machines. Brell watched as the Spartan closed in on the scout. Silence was almost a kilometer back from the kill site, and he was relying on infravision and Auspex feeds to follow the battle. The Spartan was a glowing block, trailing streams of fire from the burning wreckage of the dead predator. The surviving predator was sweeping wide, its turret turning again to cover the Spartan's rear. They were good, of course. No hesitation and no panic. They had gone straight from being ambushed into cover and counterattack. Brell felt his mouth twitch and almost shook his head at his own thought.
Of course they were good. They were Legiones Astartes. But out here we're all war machines,
he muttered to himself.
I have a clear shot to the Spartan's drive wheel,
said Jalinica.
We might not kill it, but we can cripple it.
Brell felt something itch at the back of his thoughts. Something was just not right about this ambush, a factor or possibility he'd overlooked. He paused, listening to his own breathing, watching the colours shift and smudge on the Auspex.
Boss?
Said Jalinica.
Take the shot,
said Brell softly. In his head, the itch of uncertainty grew. Tahira waited. It had been 26 seconds since the engagement began. Before that, they'd been waiting for 72 minutes. She knew this, like counting, like breathing, like not moving in order to hide her shakes. This was all just part of how she did things now.
Do we go active, Tar? Asked Mackies.
Nope, she said without moving. It felt quiet in Lantern, even with the distant growl of ordnance and engines.
They must be ready to pull back by now.
Light up early, we get seen, we die.
She paused, clicked the vox off, and then thumbed it live again.
I think we will be slightly less useful dead than we are alive.
All right, said Mackies,
his tone saying that was anything but all right in his opinion. Vale and the left and right gunners said nothing. They probably agreed with Mackies, but quite honestly, she did not care. She had got them into and back from 6 missions and 9 separate engagements. That meant that, in her considered opinion, she did not care what they thought.
I should learn the new gunners' real names, she thought. Was the left one Fawn? Or was that Vantine?
She mentally shrugged. It did not matter. Neither was that good a shot, and she was not convinced about the repair to the sponson anyway. Whichever of them was in there would probably be pasted sooner rather than later. Simpler not to worry about their names. Beside her, Lachlan shifted in his seat, his silence sullen and complete. He hardly spoke now, not on mission. Not back in the shelter. It had bothered her for a while, but then she had her own problems. They all had enough of those.
You should have a look, Tar, he said.
She heard the edge in his voice, and her head snapped up to look at him.
Why?
Because this is about to go to hell.
The left side of Talon hit something hard, and the chassis skidded around. Akil hit the brakes, and the scout slammed to a halt. His head whipped forward and the top of his face slammed into the infrasight. He tasted wet iron in his mouth and throat as he gasped for breath. Udo had stopped cheering. Akil blinked, his eyes watering and blood flecking the insides of his eyepieces.
No! No! He gasped and grabbed at the controls. Please!
The power plant snarled and Talon rocked in place, stuck firm on whatever it had hit. A sudden cold void had opened inside him, spreading ice through his body and brain.
No, please, not now.
They'd all seen it over the last few weeks and heard stories of it again and again. Worse than a clean hit from the enemy, worse even than a seal failure, was to be stranded in the hell above. Thrown tracks, burnt-out power plants, mired hulls, all were a slow death for the crew inside the tank. Unable to get out to repair or free themselves, they had to wait in their armoured coffin for the air supply to hiss to nothing. Beside him, Udo had his eyepiece pressed to the gunsight, gazing at the fire and smoke-polluted fog outside. Akil nudged the scout forwards and then slammed it into reverse. Straining gears and tracks screeched over the rising growl of the power plant. They did not move.
It's coming!
Shouted Udo. Akil looked up at the glowing image in the infrasight. The Spartan loomed, heat washing from its power plant. He pushed more power into the reverse gear and Talon lurched again. It was coming straight at them. Akil released the power, felt the scout slump a little, and then rammed it back again. Something gave, and Talon's tracks scrabbled on the slime-covered rubble. The Spartan's lascannon clusters opened fire. Converging beams of lightning hit the rise of broken masonry just in front of Talon. The scout rang as chunks of white-hot plascrete struck its hull.
Brell!
He shouted into the vox. But the word was lost in the sound of detonating metal. The Vanquisher shell hit the Spartan's rear armor. Smoke and flames exploded outwards, and the massive chassis bucked like an angry beast. Its rear slammed back down in a cloud of smoke, las cannon clusters twitching.
"Got you," whispered Brell.
The huge tank was still alive, but it was going nowhere. He clicked the vox open.
"Get moving, Talon."
The Spartans' weapons could come back online at any moment, and the remaining Predator was coming about hard and firing. Heavy rounds danced impact flashes across the ruins around the scout's position. Brell glanced away from the view.
"Get us moving, Cal," he said,
and the big driver grunted an affirmative. Beside him, Jelinica cursed. He looked around at her, his ears filling with a stream of expletives.
"What?"
he shouted. She stopped cursing.
"Look,"
she said. He did.
Oh.
The front of the Spartan pistoned open in front of Akil's eyes. He saw something move in the space within, something that glinted dully in the fire. For a second, Akil wondered if the tank had simply come apart from the damage it had suffered. But the burning figures broke from the Spartan's mouth at a run. There were 10 of them, 10 nightmares cast in dull iron and brushed steel. Hammers, axes, and claw blades wept lightning in their hands. Curved layers of armor hunched their shoulders, moving like iron slab muscles as they ran. At first, Akil just stared at them, his gaze locked upon the eyes shining in their black metal faces. He felt his mouth work soundlessly in his face, speaking a word he had heard once, but now realized that he had never truly understood.
Terminators.
A bolt of energy streaked across the closing gap. Akil blinked a second too late, and the outline of an armored figure burnt across his retinas. He was screaming, screaming without being able to stop. Explosions rang against the hull. The las cannon fired again and again.
"I killed one," gasped Udo. "I think I killed one."
Akil forced his eyes open. The Terminators were 40 meters away, firing as they came, the ground churning around their feet. Explosions and muzzle flare smeared his view. He yanked the control levers back. Metal screamed as the scout rocked in place, held for a second, and then jerked free. The controls juddered in his grip as power ran into the tracks and clawed them backwards. The Terminators kept coming. He could see the polished iron skulls on their chests now and the shell casings falling from their combi bolters. Udo fired again, but the shot burned wide. Akil hit the brake on the left track. The scout twisted, skidding as the right track pulled it around. Akil rammed both levers forwards and Talon shot ahead. He could not see the iron warriors anymore. The sight in front of him was a blur of cold rubble and ruins. They hit a wall and exploded through it. Udo was out of his seat, scrambling to the rear vision slits.
"Where are they?"
shouted Akil.
"I can't see them."
Akil half twisted in his seat, instinctively looking behind. He snatched his gaze back around in time to see the remains of a fallen pillar just before they hit it. Talon burst through the fractured plazcrete, rode up and crashed down. Akil slammed forward. For a second, everything was ringing silence and the sound of his own breathing. Then he realized that they had stopped moving. His hands went to the controls as his mouth opened.
"Can you see them?"
The impact rang through the scout like a shattering gong. Roof plating buckled inwards. Akil could hear armor grinding on armor. Udo had curled into a ball behind his seat. Akil thought of the lightning clinging to the Terminator's weapons.
"Come on!"
shouted Tahira. Lantern was still cold, its engine whining in protest at the speed Makis was demanding of it. Slime and mud sprayed from its tracks as it gouged a path towards the scout. Its gears screamed as it built up speed. They needed to be much, much closer for them to stand a chance of making a shot. Tahira had ordered them on the fastest, most direct route to give it to them, straight across the sludge pan, straight towards the stranded scout, and straight across the surviving Predator's kill zone.
"Stupid, so damn stupid,"
Tahira cursed inside her skull.
"Lachlan, do you have a shot?"
"Not a clear one."
"How long until you do?"
The rising growl of the engine and the rattle and ring of the lantern filled the pause.
5 seconds, or maybe not at all.
Tahira looked at the Auspex. On their left flank, the Iron Warrior's Predator had tagged them and was coming around in a wide arc, trailing its veil of heat and sensor baffling. In a few seconds, it would be behind them.
Kill shot, she thought. Left gunner, fire at will.
She waited but heard no reply.
Do you hear that? Whoever the hell you are, you see a target, you fire.
Understood,
came a trembling reply a second later.
Good,
she snarled, and then switched the channel.
Silence. This is Lantern.
Static boiled in her ears.
Brill, do you hear me?
The Iron Warrior's Predator almost had a shot on them. If Brill did not take care of it, they would die. She laughed to herself. It was far too late for such thoughts. There was no choice now. None at all.
Lachlan, take the shot.
The first Terminator reached Talon and pulled itself onto its roof. The Iron Warrior straightened with a clicking hiss of oiled joints and servos. No man could stand on the surface of Talon and hope to live, but this ironclad creature was not a man. He was a space marine, and the armor that encased his flesh was made to walk through the fire of war and the cold of the void. The head of the Iron Warrior's hammer glowed with a blue light in the thick air. The legionary looked down for a second, electric green eyes taking in the scout's armor plating. He raised his hammer. The plasma stream hit the Terminator from the side and pitched him from his feet. He twisted as he fell, his armor holding its shape for a second before melting. Chips of ceramite exploded with heat, burning the air as they fell. Inside the cage of his armor, the Iron Warrior's flesh became smoke and steam. The plasma swept on through the air, peeling paint from Talon's hull in black bubbles. The Iron Warriors nearest the scout vanished as their armor crumpled under the stream and became nothing more than expanding spheres of gas and heat. Some of them remained alive long enough to turn and try to lumber out of the plasma storm, their shapes slowly deforming as they went. Light poured through the Talon's vision slits, hot, white and harsh blue. The roof plating began to glow red. Akil heard the scream and rush of plasma-fueled explosions. Static boiled and spat in his ears as the light grew brighter, shifting hue from white to orange. His hands went back to the controls and fired the scout's engines. It accelerated away over the rubble, the plasma fires burning in its wake. Akil heard distant voices over the vox as he turned Talon south, away from the kill zone.
"Put us in the kill zone, Cal,"
said Brell. There had been a pause, and Brell had not needed to see the driver's face to know that it had creased with confusion.
"Do it, Cal. Put us right in the middle of it, as close to the live predator as possible."
As soon as Brell had seen Lantern move, he had realized what Tahira was going to do, and what she was gambling on him doing. He had cursed, and for a second had thought of not giving the order. A long breath later, he had shaken his head, half in anger and half in admiration.
"Yes, boss," said Calzuris after a long pause.
Silence clattered into motion, its tracks rolling slowly, then faster and faster as it bumped onto the flat pan of the kill zone. Brell glued his eyepieces to the periscope, flicking between infravision and the basic sight of the human eyeball. The fog here was thin enough that he could see the Iron Warrior's tank cutting through the vapor like a shark through sand-clouded water.
"There you are," he whispered. "Jal, make them notice us."
The Vanquisher cannon spat fire, and a shower of mud and smoke hid the Predator for a second. When Brell saw it again, it had changed course, turning hard with its dome turret traversing and its sponsons swiveling in their mounts.
Damn, it was close.
So close that its streaked metal hull almost filled his sight. He could see targeting lasers scatter red lines through the murk as they reached for him and the more distant Lantern. The Predator could do it. One machine could kill both Lantern and Silence, if it was not killed first. Tahira had known that. Had known that by roaring across the sludge pan she was opening herself up as a target, and that the only way she would live was if Brell brought the Silence in to split the Predator's attention. It was a move of total courage and utter stupidity. The Predator's turret was rotating around to Brill. Jelinica's curses filled his ears again as she tried to get the main gun steady for a shot. The breech slammed open next to him, and the smoking case fell from its throat. Selk was already rising, ramming another shell into position. The vanquisher's firing block closed on the brass-cased shell with a ring like a struck anvil. Brell kept his eyes on the Predator. Both machines were close, far too close. This was not an engagement. It was a nose-to-nose brawl with fists of high explosive and iron. In such a fight, there could only be one winner. The diffused red line of light from the Predator's targeter became a dot in Brell's sight, and he knew that behind the Predator's gun a pair of legionary eyes was looking right back at him.
"Okay," whispered Brell.
Silence fired an instant after the Predator, the boom of the shot and the ring of impact overlapping in a metal-throated roar. The Predator vanished before Brell's eyes. A second later, the shards of its hull rang on Silence's outer skin like the striking of 1,000 hammers. Jelinek whooped, slapping the breech block. Brell stayed silent, watching the fire and smoke rising from the blasted bones of the Predator, listening. Clatter-clunk, clatter-clatter, clatter-clunk.
"They hit us," he said.
They all heard it then. A grinding whir of half-sheared metal, like the drumming of broken iron fingers upon the hull.
"Full halt," said Brell,
but Calzuris had already disengaged the power from the tracks. Silence lurched to a stop, and the metallic clatter-clunk sound ceased. For a second, none of them said anything. They all knew what had just happened. Brell took a slow breath of sterilized air. It was Selk that broke the silence.
"The track isn't broken," he said.
Brell could hear the control in the loader's soft lilt.
"It would have spun out or jammed if it was a straight break."
"It's half broke,"
added Calciuris, his voice casual as though he might be talking about the chance of winning a hand of cards.
"You can hear it scrape the skirt. And it's not just the track. Left drive wheel is shot as well, or I'm the new regent of terror."
Jelinica barked a laugh, then went quiet. Brell let out a slow breath. There was no point asking the question that was running through all their thoughts.
"Can we still move, or will we go a few meters and then be stranded?"
"Brell, you got it, you beautiful, beautiful bastard!"
Tahira's voice breathed over the vox, and he could hear the delight at still being alive in her words. He closed his eyes and leaned his head back.
"You're welcome," he said. "So, this is how it happens," he thought. "After all this time, I'm going to suffocate on the surface of a dead planet because a stray shell clipped a track."
He shook his head.
"Brell?"
Tahira's voice crackled in his ear again, a sudden tension in her voice.
"We should be moving. Why have you stopped?"
He ignored the question and flicked the vox to the internal channel only.
"Cal, engage drive power slowly. Let's see if we can move. Or if we're dead and just haven't stopped breathing," he added to himself.
"Brell!"
Tahira's voice grated in his ear again, and again he ignored it. He listened as the noise of the engine changed in pitch and the gears engaged with a clunk. His chest was aching, and he realized that he was holding his breath. There was a rattling thud, and Silence lurched forwards. The engine noise dipped as Calzuris notched the power down, and then there was the familiar rumble of movement. They were moving, slower than a man could walk, but moving nonetheless. And that meant they were alive.